absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Surprise, I must say, cause I never had seen such a pretty face, with such a warm and beautiful smile, it wasn't hard for me to notice her style, I was fascinated, surely, she took my heart and held it for me, I wouldn't let her get away, not until she heard me say.
Once again, as always, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on a lovely Memorial Day Sunday, I am JT, a.k.a. the Master, and this is the Master Plan. The number to call in is 347-637-3220, 347-637-3220. It's a place to be if you want to talk to me. We got a great show in store for you today. We're going to be talking about some fantasy baseball, as we always do in this fantasy baseball type season. We're talking about some football, as always, because that's what I like to cover. even though it's not football season, it is, but it isn't. And we're going to be talking about some NBA. Some good, some bad, and just to see, just to think about what's going on within the NBA, off the court and on the court. Also have a chat room. The chat room is open for your convenience. Question, comment, statement, all three of those, you can do that in that chat room. Remember, whatever you put in there, remember, I respond to it on the air. So even though your words are anonymous, when you put them in the chat room like that, I will respond to it. If it's positive or negative, I'm going to bring it. As always, the show and this hotline, this call line, is sponsored by FantasySportsBookAndCasino.com, where winners win. And players play, or players win and winners play, or whatever. Whatever way you want to coin it, go there. Look at the different options that you have to make a wager. Make a wager, and good luck. We have a great weekend for those, for the better part of this country, especially on the East Coast. We're getting up in the mid-70s, maybe even close to 80 on this great Memorial Day weekend. So enjoy it. Don't get too crazy. I know this is the first good weather holiday of the season, and people have a tendency to get buck wild because, like I said, this is the first good weather holiday to start the summer, so-called summer off. Naturally you have July 4th, and then you have Labor Day, but Labor Day's falling into football season, going back into the fall. So there's two really good holidays with good weather, really good weather. And this is one of them, Memorial Day weekend, which most people have Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. Some people, fortunate enough, will get Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Really get into it. So eat, drink, and be merry. Enjoy your friends. Enjoy the friends and relatives that are long lost. This is a Memorial weekend. So remember those that are no longer with us, whether they are civilian or military. Yes, military. Remember those that are no longer with us. All right, let's get into this, okay? First of all, how do I want to go? Let me think here. Do I want to talk about the Heat yet? Not just yet. How about we fall into baseball? Okay, we fall into baseball first, okay? As you know, every week, as I told you before the beginning of the season, that I was in the Spanish Baseball League, and I know this is getting monotonous. Some people don't want to listen to what I have to say about my sorry team, but I still have faith in my team. I'm not that far off. I'm just missing a few parts, especially in the pitching. Seems like I've got a extreme case of bad luck. And this is the scenario I've been following for at least the last 3 weeks, even though week before last I pulled out a win late. This is what happens. This is what's been happening, all right? Usually the fantasy baseball week starts on Monday and ends today on a Sunday for a matchup. Total points, a total amount of categories you win the week. Well, this is what happens. This is what's been happening for at least the last 3 weeks. Monday, if I have a pitcher or two or whatever pitching I have, seems like in their matchup, starting off Monday, in their matchup, I get either a starting pitcher or a relief pitcher. Most of the time it's a starting pitcher. And the categories for a pitcher are innings pitched, one loss, saves, hits, base on balls, strikeouts, holds, ERA, and whip. So what happens, and this has been happening because I've been tracking it, first day out of the chute, my starting pitchers give me double-digit ERAs and extremely high whip. So, and when I say double-digit, I'm talking about they've been having extremely bad outings on the early part of the week. So, right off the bat, whether my opposition has a pitcher going or not, I'm behind the eight ball in two categories, and more than likely, if they have a high ERA and a high whip, they lost. So that makes three categories, and not necessarily three, because if it's a high ERA and high whip, meaning they either had a lot of base on ball or a lot of hits. So that one category may turn into one, two, three, four, five categories. So right off the bat, five categories down, coming early part of the week. Got to make those up. And what's been happening is this, and I've been tracking this. This is my pitching. This is what's really frustrating, my pitching. My bats are really starting to come around, but I want to focus on my pitching first. And some of you are probably experiencing some of the same things. That's why I want to try to explain this. So what's happening, your five-quarter, your pitching's not that strong anyway. Your five categories down, in the first part of the week, either Monday or Tuesday. Now you got to try to make those up. And then in order to make those up, you have to have exceptional pitching throughout the week to cut that deficit down, to cut that ERA, whip, and the other categories down. So if you have pitchers, and this, I've been watching this, if you have pitchers that are playing in close games and you're losing those games, like 2-1, 3-2, 4-3, something like that, those wins mount up, the ERA doesn't come down as quickly because you're in these close games, and even though you're in a close game, the based on balls and hits may accumulate, but runs aren't being scored against you. But it takes longer for that ERA to come down, for those things to come down, because the fact is you don't have Cy Young-type pitching for the rest of the week. So when you come into the weekend, you're not down four categories, five categories. I'm down five categories into today. Yesterday I was down five categories. Friday I was down five categories. Even though the categories may change, I'm down five categories, and the majority of those are in the pitching department. And it becomes very frustrating when right in the middle of the week you're down five categories and you got to try to make that up. And I got a caller from the 240. Let me bring him in, and then we'll keep talking. Caller from the 240, welcome to the Master Plan. What's up, Macau?
What's up, man? Hey,
right,
man. I'm calling to give you my condolences.
For what?
The Indiana Pacers.
It's only one game, my man. It's only one game. It's one game. I said they had to get a split. They have to get a split in Miami. Okay?
I'm with you. They got to get a split down there. But did you see the body language? Your boys had some bad body language, man. Real bad body language.
I read a couple articles. I didn't see the whole game. I read a couple articles, and I think you may have a point there, okay? But this is not the first time that they've been down this road when they've had a disappointing loss.
I agree, and
I think these guys are experienced enough from what happened last year and the things that they've gone through this year to bounce back and be really focused in the next game, because they have to be, because essentially the next game is a do-or-die game. There's no two ways about it. It's a do-or-die game. If they don't win that game, the series is over. So you and I both know that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll be checking it out.
I still believe in them. They're sometimes they're mentally tough. The mental toughness of this team is challenging, but they have it in them to, because they can beat the Heat. They have it in them, but they just have to get over that mental part of it and believe it in themselves. And sometimes it gets fragile, and you get a result like you got yesterday. So, but
right,
I mean,
Jerry,
it is what it is. I mean,
I still believe in this.
I
will say this, Jerry. You know, when you get behind something, you stay there. You don't be flipping and flopping and half stepping and faking.
No.
You don't, because you were saying the same thing last year when they went down 2-1 last year. Oh,
yeah. See, but it's a different scenario.
It's
this
a
year.
Different year.
Yeah, it's a different year. And the fact is this, and I really believe this, and I really believe this, that last year, They were a very young team in a new situation, because they'd never been in the finals before, and these guys had never been in the finals together before. Maybe some of them had been in playoff games, not all of them. And it's a very mentally and physically young team.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe that they learned a lot from playing the Heat and being in that situation last year. Quite naturally, they went through a lot of garbage, a lot of things toward the end of this year, but they went and got through it to get to where they're at now. And even though they lost, and the body language wasn't that good near the end of the game or when the Heat finally took over. I got to believe it's only one game. They're professionals. I got to believe that these guys, you know, saying, look, enough is enough. I got to believe that David West and company, who's probably one of the mentally toughest guys on that team, and even hopefully Paul George would step up and saying, you got to bring it. You know, the problem I see is this. One of the problems I see is one of their players got the Westbrook disease, if you know what I mean. If you know what I mean by the Westbrook, I'm the man, and no one else on this team is. I'm the man. And I'm talking
who
about
is that?
Lance Stevenson. He has the tendency to get out of control, has a tendency to think that he's the only one on the team and does a lot and screws up a lot. If he can get they can get him under control and him not being so out of control and have that Westbrook-type disease, then I think they have a better chance because I've seen a lot when he plays, he gets the ball in his hands and it's like there's nobody else on the court and it's just me. I mean, Lance Stevenson. Mm-hmm. So, and he doesn't like to give up the ball and he's very turnover prone when he figures that I'm taking this ball and taking a shot.
Yeah.
So, but
Jerry,
he has a lot of talent, huh?
Jerry, I so wish I could agree with you. I so wish I could.
It's okay.
I know, but it's like the Heat played so regally the last two games. Mm-hmm. It was very regally. It was like, okay, y'all want to see the king. You want to get him with the best. You want to romp and stomp with us. Okay, we're gonna give you your shot. Let them take their shot. It's like, okay, that's the best y'all got. Okay, this is what we gonna do. We got this boy Ray Allen just been sitting over here chilling. He's 38. He's gonna shoot the lights out of this place this week. I mean, the analysis you gave about the Indiana is on point, no doubt. I got nothing against anything you said about that.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I would say to counter is that the Heat are stronger. They mentally stronger. The only way this team is going to win it. Is if when they break this team up, that's the only way they're gonna do it. They're gonna be like the Knicks back in the day. Only
mm-hmm.
way they're gonna get there
mm-hmm.
is if Mike ain't there. And then when Mike wasn't there, they didn't get there. Oh
okay.
Man.
Well, I gotta believe I don't know what to say. I really don't because I really believe this team can do it. I just fail to understand. I understand where Miami is. I understand they got some wily vets and some very good players. But so does Indiana. And Indiana is more athletic and the younger players. It's that mental makeup that get you over the hump, and you really, in my opinion, when you get into situations like that, you can't second guess yourself. You really have to believe that you can win. You start second guessing yourself, and you get the result that what happened in this past game. You really have to believe and put the commitment in that you do believe to will yourself to win. And I'm looking for Indiana to come out, even though they were ahead for at least half this game.
They were sticking it to the Heat.
Mm-hmm.
They were sticking it to them, Jerry. I mean, it was like 20 to 5 or something. They was putting it to them. They was doing everything they were supposed to do. They was taking it inside. They was working them. They was working them. My man West was working them. You know, it looked like it was about to be a beatdown.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like it was about to be a beatdown. Then I don't know what LeBron said to them boys. You know what I'm saying? In the second quarter, and in the third quarter, but they got jacked up. Your man Ray Allen started hitting them hitting all kind of jumpers everywhere. So did D Wade. I mean, and then like at halftime, I think LeBron had cramps or something, but. I don't know, Jerry. I wish I can agree with you, but I mean, they had everything. They had every piston firing off in this game. They did everything that they could in this game. Everything was right. They did. I mean, but the Heat just took it from them. They took it from them.
Well, I'm not afraid to be, you know, I'm not afraid to be on this island all by myself. So,
I got the boat ready for you to jump off that joint. I got all kind of life preservers for you, bro. I ain't gonna leave you hanging out there all by yourself.
I'm gonna be like the captain going down with his ship, man. I'm gonna be a diehard here. I really don't like the Heat. I guess it's showing through here. And I'm not I'm a Knicks fan, but I shouldn't really like the Pacers as much. But I like the makeup of this team, and I just don't understand why they can't do, because they have the ability. That's the whole thing. I'm seeing these guys. And they have all the pieces sitting there. They got a big man. They got scoring. They got the physical nature of the team is well enough to compete against this Heat team. I don't understand why they can't get over the hump. It's all got to be mental. It's all got to be that these guys, even though they're playing up against it, don't truly, absolutely believe that they can beat them. There's always something in the back of their mind that we can't beat these guys, rather than saying we can beat these guys. And until that mindset is put in and ingrained in and it's not taken out, they're always going to have issues like they had in Game 2 and in Game 3. And then Game 2 bothered me because I was watching. I watched that whole game.
Uh-huh.
And the six-minute mark, around 6 minutes, between 5 and 6 minutes, it seems like they started second-guessing themselves. It didn't seem like the Miami Heat were playing that much better. It seems like they were second-guessing themselves because their passing, their play, all completely changed, and it really didn't. I really don't think it was anything to do with Miami. I think they just looked like they started second and guessing themselves, and Miami could see it. They took advantage of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that bothered me. That bothered me because they had that game two. They had that game up until the 5 to 6 minute mark in the fourth quarter, and all for whatever reason. They started throwing dumb passes, making stupid shots, and not playing the way they were playing leading up to that point. And
right,
I have to believe, because they've done it before and they beat them before, that they are able to come back and split. I'm looking for a split. They got to split one way or the other. They have to split, just like they had in Indiana. They got to do the same thing in Miami.
So, I don't know.
We'll see what happens.
We'll see.
I'm just I'm like I said, I'm always the guy with the glass half full, never the guy with the glass half empty. So that's just my nature, man. I can't have it glass half empty. It's just not no. No, I'm always thinking positive, never negative. So
okay.
Next game is on tomorrow at 8:30 on ESPN, and I guarantee you I'll be watching from start to finish.
That's in Indiana. Okay. They got to win that one.
Oh, it's in Miami. They have two games in Miami. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right.
This will be the second game in Miami. So we'll see what happens. I'm really looking forward to it. You let Dwayne Wade and maybe LeBron get theirs and stifle everybody else. You really can't do anything about. I don't say you can't do, but once Ray Allen starts getting in the zone, it's tough. It's tough getting him out of that zone, getting out of his comfort zone. Once he starts throwing up three pointers all over the freaking place, or jump shots, or whatever, all over the place, then you really got
That's
a problem.
Pretty bad.
Not, go ahead. I'm sorry.
You're right. No, you're right. You got a real problem when you got him running like that.
Yeah,
you got a problem when they got him running like that.
Yeah, because you got four options now. You got Wade, you got LeBron, you got Bosh, and now he starts getting hot. Now you got four out of the five guys that are offensive threats. Oof, that's tough. So anyway, today is Oklahoma's last breath. Or what? They're playing in Oklahoma City. Supposedly Ibaka is going to give it a go, or maybe he's coming back and trying to play. I don't know how much of a percentage he's going to be when he's playing. I don't know if it's going to make a difference, even if he comes back, because the way of San Antonio's confidence in player are they're playing at a they're playing a few levels above anybody that's left in the playoffs. Let me put it that way. They're playing like we're the world champions. We're just going through the motions until we get the trophy.
Right.
Because whoever comes in front of us, they're going to pass.
That's the team. That's the team right there. That is a seven-game series that I cannot wait to check out. Spurs and Heat. I'm sorry. Had to say it. But the Spurs are playing like I haven't seen basketball play like that. They look perfect out there. They look perfect. They're coached perfectly. You know, if they miss some shots or do something silly, he calls the perfect timeouts. You know what I mean? And then if he thinks that the player doesn't need to be taken out, he don't take him out. Talk him up, coach him up, push him around, and then all of a sudden they start. Oh. The pick and rolls just look so crisp. Timmy, you know, even though he ain't got that lift on his jump no more, he still look good in the pick and roll, and he looks healthy as hell, man. He looks real slim. As much as I do not like Tony Parker, he's playing his little ass off. I just can't wait. I just want to see that one. That's the game I want to see. I want to see them up against the LeBroninators.
Oh, let me ask you a question before you go any further. What is it that you don't like about Tony Parker?
I just don't like him. I mean, I respect his game. The dude has my respect as far as his game is concerned. I just don't like him. I just don't. I be trying. I be looking. I'm like, okay. I just don't like him, dude. I can't. I have no excuses. You got me. You can pull my card on it. You say, Mikal, you're tripping. You're lunching. Go ahead. You got
me. You are lunching. I don't understand. The guy, like I broke it down yesterday. The guy, I respect the hell out of this guy. I'm not a San Antonio's fan. I'm not really a Tony Parker fan. But you got to respect the player, because the fact is, when he, like I said before, he came into the league, he was raw as hell. His one thing when he came into the league was his speed and taking it to the basket, because he couldn't shoot a jump shot worth a lick. He had no jump shot. His whole thing was speed and going to the basket. And trying to learn how to be a point guard because he was pretty turnover prone when he first came into the league. Well, the Tony Parker when he first came into the league and the Tony Parker he's transformed himself into is amazing. Let me put it that way because he knows what the right pass to make. He knows when to take it to the basket. He's got a jump shot now, and he's one of the leaders of the team. It's you got to give a guy props because he transforms himself to an all around player. So
yeah, I definitely respect every bit of what you said, and I respect the transformation. I still don't like.
Okay. Okay. All right. Hey, it is what it is, man. I can't change it. I try to change it. But just like you don't believe anything I said about the Heat. I mean, the Pacers. Really?
No, I believe what you say. I believe what you're saying about the Pacers. It's mm-hmm. just that the Heat played so regally. It was just like, okay. You want to get in, like I said, you want to get in here with the champ. Give us your best shot. We'll see what's up. They took their best shot. And they kind of like you ever get into a fight and you hit a dude and he kind of just like look at you and like, okay, that's the best you got. That's what Indiana is now. They the dude mm-hmm. that took the shot. And the guy is still standing there. The Heat is still there. They still standing there, and they coming back, and they taking it. They about to take it to them some more. I just the Heat look way more advanced. Just like Indiana has grown. Oh my goodness, the Heat are extremely mature right now. Extremely mature right now. I don't see where Indiana is going to be able to pull this together and get, because there's no chinks in the Heat's armor right now. If somebody was hurt or somebody is not able to play or something like that, then they probably could get at them. But nah. They're not going to get it until they dismantle this team. They're going to have to keep that team together until they dismantle that team before they really get it. They're not going to get these boys. I don't think so.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They're not going to get these boys. And if the Heat is smart, they hang it up after this year. Break it up after this year.
Is that right?
Or, you know, or retool or revamp something. Have LeBron get some more players with LeBron, or LeBron talk to some more friends and bring some more super friends down there to Miami.
Okay. All right, let's move over to the NFL. I meant to bring this up last week. But I'm going to bring it up this week, and I probably got one of the best persons to talk about this on with you right now, or with me right now, is Macau. Sources say that the renegotiated drug policy, which has been in effect, I guess, since 2011, includes testing for HGH, also will significantly increase the threshold for a positive marijuana test and reduce the punishments for violations involving that drug. NFL source says the NFL's policy on marijuana is outdated, pointing out that the World Anti-Doping Agency has a higher threshold for a positive test than the NFL currently has. In essence, what I'm saying is, excuse me, that the NFL Players Association has expressed to the league an interest in studying the medical research that has led to the legalization of marijuana in many states for medicinal use, but believes changes are in need in the meantime, regardless. So supposedly, the NFL going to reduce the pot discipline on players. And increase or make it more substantial, I guess a suspension or whatever, for first offense on a DUI, meaning a two-game suspension or not. Your thoughts, the NFL, finally realizing that majority of these guys, over 50% of these guys, are smoking pot. And it, when and if they get, do get busted on it, they're not going to do like what's going to happen probably to Josh Gordon, because he got popped for pot, and it looks like he may have a 16-game suspension because it's his second offense. So it may be too late for him, but anybody past him, if this thing gets passed with a reduced suspension or reduced penalty for getting busted for pot. Your thoughts on first reduced penalty for pot and the increased penalty for first offense DUI?
The first offense DUI, I really don't have too much of a problem with. Because that's just too dangerous, man. You can't be out here, you know, driving while you inebriated, driving while you intoxicated, whatever you want to call it, you high, you drunk, whatever. That's just too much of a risk, and you know, and that's just not a good look all the way around. The pot thing, I really don't know, because there are a lot of these youngins out here smoking this weed, but it does not make it right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it cool or whatever. And you know, a lot of these states are, you know, relaxing their laws on marijuana because, quite frankly, they're trying to generate more tax revenue. Quite naturally.
Oh yeah. Well, we both know that. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's what that's stemming from. So it's like, okay, how can the NFL benefit from it? I'm not seeing where they could benefit from it. It's still, you know, somewhat of a black eye on it, but at the same time, they're still showing their hypocrisy in their nature when they dish out these suspensions and stuff to the players, you know, and we've gone in detail about Ursa yesterday and on Thursday. I don't even really need to bring him up again, but this whole the whole thing with Mr. Gordon down in Cleveland, a year, I mean, 16 games, I think that's a little bit much. You know, one, two, maybe even three games, that'd be enough. I don't know what he got caught with or what he was doing exactly, but I can't see why they would do 16 games. Nonetheless, he went, got eyed and was driving around and went and robbed a couple of stuff. I don't know what he did, but the NFL just really needs to get consistent with their policy. You know, and just stop all this, you know, flim-flamming and jumping back and forth and all around and whatnot. And they need to get this. They need to get their policies together with the HGH now. And now you got the former players coming after them for the for the painkiller shots and whatnot. And you know, we briefly talked about this stuff, man. Everything that we kind of brush on or have a conversation about, it keeps coming back like a monster that just won't go away, like Jason. And it's just, I don't know what's up. I really don't understand how the NFL thinks that they can continuously utilize services of these people and just pimp them out the way they've been doing and just do it the way they want to do it. You know, it's just not possible. It's just not possible. It's really not possible. And then you're gonna have problems with them taking something like ACH, which really enhances them to be able to heal from a lot of these violent injuries and whatnot.
Right.
But you'll allow them to take these painkillers, which really depreciates, you know, everything within, you know, every muscle within the body. You know, it numbs the pain, but you depreciate the muscle every time you take one of those things. You know what I'm saying? Whether if you're taking it by pill, you depreciating your liver. You know, although it's very small, but you're still doing it. You know what I mean? So I just don't understand their thinking. But as far as that, you know, because you always want an asset to perform. You know what I mean? Anything to enhance the asset to perform over a longer period of time. That's what you want as a businessman. You always want that. But, you know, I just think the line between who's cheating and what's cheating, I think they've blurred that and they've confused that a whole lot, which has, you know, basically made them the bad guys.
Well, let me go, because I'm reading an article, and I've over the years I've lost a lot of respect for this guy. He's a Hall of Fame player. He coached on a Super Bowl. He was head coach of a Super Bowl team. And everybody pretty much gave this guy a pass because he's Hall of Famer and it's just Mike being Mike. I'm talking about Mike Ditka, who was quite naturally the head coach of the 85 Bears, one of the best defenses of all time, and a Super Bowl winning team. First of all, this is an issue I have before I go into what I was reading about this article. If you ever seen the article, or not article, the show, and I forget, I think it's the Football Life or whatever it is, about the 85 Bears, okay, and when they won the Super Bowl. The only named player that didn't score a touchdown, that had an opportunity to score a touchdown and didn't score a touchdown, and he was pretty upset about it, was Walter Payton.
Walter Payton, yep.
And it seemed like from when I saw that show and I actually saw the game that there was a concerted effort, and I can't say that for sure, but it was a concerted effort not to let Walter Payton score a touchdown. And in that show about the 85 Bears, Mike Ditka came out of his face, and to this day, I still think it's a bold-faced lie, that he didn't realize Walter Payton hadn't scored a touchdown and didn't realize it meant that much to him. And he said that in that show. If you ever watched that show, he said, I didn't think it meant that much to him, and I didn't realize didn't score a touchdown or whatever it was. The touchdown that he should have was what the one that they gave to William Perry to score, the short yardage touchdown near the goal line. They took they took Walter Payton out and gave it to Perry to score a touchdown. So when I read what I'm going to read to you here, I even lose more respect for this guy because I think he's full of it. This is about because some of the members of the 85 Bears sued the NFL, meaning one of them, meaning Richard Dent, for among things giving them painkillers without warning them of the risks and side effects. Mike Ditka, and this is a quote from Mike Ditka he told the Chicago Sun-Times, if you don't want to take them, don't take them. I don't think anybody ever forces anyone to do anything. If you don't want to take it, don't take it. If you wanted it, they were available. There's no question about that. Is that right? I don't know. Now, I'm thinking he's full of garbage because the fact is he's one driven person, especially on winning. And at the time, back in 85, which is not that far away, they didn't think too much about players and getting a player back on it regardless of what you had to do to get that player back on there. So even if he said, if you don't want to take him, don't take him, you know that he was probably one of the ones that strongly encouraged him one way or the other, or to take these take this stuff to get him back on to get the, his players back on the field. So he's got to take some type of, in my opinion, responsibility in this, even though these are grown men. But these are grown men playing a game, and if you're not on the field, you're forgotten. Let me put it that way. And it'll be the next person up, and somebody else will take your spot, and they'll just throw you in the trash heap. And every NFL player knows that, and any every NFL coach, especially back in the 80s, knew that too. Especially Mike Ditka. So, so to say that is a slap in the face to every player that played for him, because the fact is, we all know, not been in the locker room, but we all know what type of attitude, especially back in the mid 80s, they had towards football players playing and taking painkillers and being able to play through the pain. Talk to me.
Man, first off, I believe Ditka when he said that about Walter Payton, because he's an idiot. You know, you got to be – no, I'm serious, because you got to be a special kind of idiot to not know that. And I believe that he is that special kind of idiot.
Okay.
I believe him. I believe in all honesty and all his heart that he did not honestly know that Walter Payton wouldn't get in there, because, like, it all fits, you know, because Walter's not a complainer. You know, he never was.
Right.
He just got in there and did his thing or whatever, you know. He may talk to, you know, he might talk about it afterward, you know, said some things, but I guarantee you it didn't come off like he was complaining, because he was a classy dude like that.
Right.
And Mike Ditka, he's a Neanderthal of all Neanderthals. You know what I mean? He that dude, he's that Neanderthal coach that's just going to, you know, punch, you know, get you to punch through a wall for him. I mean, oh, my God, this dude gave Buddy Ryan a job. Really? He's an idiot. Oh, man, come on, man. Come on, man. So, yeah, I definitely believe that. But, you know, as he's gotten older, as Dick has gotten older, he has really – really become senile. I mean, he has said some wild stuff. And I'm just watching him, was he on CBS? Yeah, I watched him a couple times. I think it's CBS.
ESPN. Yeah, he's on ESPN.
He is on ESPN. Sorry about that.
It's all right.
ESPN.
He
has said some things that are just like, what the hell does that have to do with what we're talking about? Because it's, like,
right.
it's really,
right.
it's been like really crazy. So for him to now say this, he's really lost his damn mind, because just like you said, you know, every football player knows that if he goes down, somebody's going to take his spot, you know, just like, you know, my man from that plays quarterback for Chiefs now, Smith, you know, that guy did everything he was supposed to do when he was in San Francisco. You know what I'm saying? He's playing.
Right.
His team was moving, you know what I'm saying? He get popped, you know what I'm saying? And he just take himself out, you know, a couple games or whatever, get his head right. Next thing you know, the youngin' then stepped up and took his job. Now he in Kansas City. You know what I mean? These players know. These players know what time it is. Look what happened down here with my little youngin'. And he got his knee popped. Youngin was like, I'm going to take off one play, and I'm going to get back in there. And then his knee blew out. You know what I'm saying? He didn't care. He did not. He was not going to sit here on the bench, because he knew what would happen. You know? He knew. And that is the whole culture here. So, you know, I'm saying that to say, yeah, you better take them. You're going to take them painkillers. You're going to do what you got to do to get that edge. Because you're trying to be the next man up. And when your number call, you're trying to keep your number from being called to get called out. That's what you're trying to do. That's just the name of the game in football. So, you know, the NFL's has got a lot of problems here coming up in the next 2 to 3 years, you know, as far as their branding, because, you know, you got so many fights going on with them, with these players, and what, you know, and them not letting them know what, you know, the side effects of these things, and really not caring about, you know, any of it. They really not caring about any of it. They just using and abusing them, and the culture reinforces all of this nonsense. The culture, it's like a self-fulfilling culture. You know what I mean? It just keeps on going. But at what point is it going to stop? I don't know. I don't know.
All right. All right. Let me go this route and see what the. Oh, you know what? As you know, your boy, and I say this facetiously, your boy, Manny Pacquiao, inks a 2-year deal with Top Rank with Bob Arum. So he's staying with Bob Arum, and supposedly Bob Arum saying this fight still is going to take place between Mayweather and Pacquiao.
It's never going to happen now.
And
it's not going to happen.
And as long as Bob Arum is associated and vice versa, Pacquiao's associated with Bob Arum, there is no way in all God's heaven, I should say, that Floyd Mayweather is going to agree to fight Manny Pacquiao. Quickly, your thoughts on that?
That was a bad move by Manny.
Yeah.
Manny has really shown that he is a terrible businessman. He is really bad at it, you know. And he's hemorrhaging, losing money, and this move was just real silly. He should have never signed inked a deal with Bob Arum until he fought Mayweather. He should have fought Mayweather. Took that $40 million, then went back to Bob Arum. That was just a bad move. He's never going to see a paycheck like that ever, ever. I don't care who he fights, how he fights. He still ain't made $40 million. He still have not made $40 million. The $40 million that was offered to him by Floyd Mayweather. He still has not made that at all. If you can show me where he's done it, please do, because I remember looking at the top paid athletes for 2013, Slim, and his name was nowhere on there. I saw all kind of football players. I even saw Gilbert Arenas on that joint for like 26, 27
what?
Million. He
ain't put, Are you
yeah.
serious?
Seriously. Seriously. Seriously.
Is he still playing?
No, he's not playing that guaranteed contract, Slim.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I even seen him on it. I didn't see Manny Pacquiao on there. I ain't see him. No, sir. So this is a really bad business move, but I understand the move. You know, it's sure he taking the sure money as opposed to, you know, going over there to Mayweather, because it'd be kind of like a kowtow. You know what I mean? He's probably
sure.
going over there with his tail between his legs and go get that $40 million. But I'm sorry, Slim. I'm gonna have to have my tail between my legs, Slim. I'm gonna get that $40 million. Sorry.
Well,
let me ask you something.
Now that it's been at least 3 years, I think it's been about 3 years since he was offered that, and quite naturally, it never came to fruition. You think in the state of affairs now? Seeing that Pacquiao did lose, and Mayweather still undefeated, that there's a $40 million payday if for some reason that Pacquiao finds a way to fight Mayweather, that he's going to get $40 million out of it, or is it going to be reduced now because of the fact over the circumstances of the last 2-3 years?
Nah. He could have still got $40 million out of Mayweather. He still could get $40 million out of Floyd Mayweather. Straight up. A fight with Floyd Mayweather, he could have definitely got 40, and Mayweather probably could have taken 50 or 55, and they could raise that money easy. That's a fight easily. They could have a $100 million purse and do it 60-40, and Floyd also take the pay-per-views or whatever. But, you know, all these people thinking that, you know, it's, you know, that Floyd should have to, you know, be fair with the pay-per-views or whatever. And I'm just looking at them. I'm like, in on what planet?
Right.
On what planet can you do that? You
right.
can't go to the bank and tell the bank how you want to lend the money, how you want them to lend you the money. It don't go like that. It doesn't go like that. You got to show them that you able to do this and this and that, and you got to meet certain criteria to get the money.
Right.
It's always been like that. The bank always lets you know what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to do it. And in this scenario, Mayweather is the bank. If a dude gonna cut you $40 million check, what you lunching for? How you gonna dictate what's on the contract? That's the most baffling thing ever to me.
Right.
You know what I mean? You ain't never seen $40 million check. You ain't never seen one. What you? What kind of nonsense is this?
Yep.
Nah, man, but that's just Bob Arum, you know, playing his angles as much as he possibly can. But I don't foresee this fight ever happening now. There was an opportunity, you know, before he signed his contract, and I was really excited to think that it could possibly happen, you know, but now, nah. I ain't even licking my chops for it no more, man. That fight ain't even happening. It's not happening.
All right. Well, since we're talking about the undisputed pound for pound best fighter in the land right now, he's due to fight on September 13th, but with no opponent right now. That's to be determined.
Hmm.
Now, I don't know which way you're going to go here.
That's $40 million out the door, man.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I don't know who's going to be his opponent. It'll be his fourth of a six-bout deal that he's got with Showtime. So, your thoughts. Who does fight, or who's Floyd going to fight?
I have no idea, man.
Is it going
I
to
no
be?
Idea.
Is it going to be? Where is this guy's name? Is it going to be Marquez?
Marquez.
Manuel Marquez,
oh.
who fought last
what?
Night.
He already. For what? He already beat him.
Okay.
Him.
Is it going to be Timothy Bradley? Is it going to
mm-mm.
be Sean
mm-mm.
Porter? Is it going to be
Timothy Bradley? No. Timothy Bradley is under Bob Arum. No. That fight won't ever happen.
What about Sean Porter? Or how about
I'd like to see that.
Adrian Broner. I mean, I know that's his boy, but in order to bring a gate in, even though he can
Oh, that'll be a good fight.
That'll
be a good fight. His school, Broner.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Let them go, you know, stage it, though. Let them go out to Vegas or something and get into it over some chick or something or some money or something. And then put it all out there on Twitter, you know what I'm saying, make it a social media joint. Get
mm-hmm.
all hyped up about it, and then they come out and say, yeah, we're going to fight. We're going to sell this in the ring. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that'll work.
I can see some of them doing something, perpetuating something like that. I can definitely
mm-hmm.
see them doing something like that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, we come to the end of the show, my man. And as always, it's always a pleasure when you call in and we have this conversation about whatever we're talking about. We'll give you an opportunity to give your closing Macau thoughts before we exit this Memorial Weekend.
I just want to say to all the beautiful people that are upset that my beloved Washington Redskins will not change the thing and are under some false impression that those 50 senators have even remotely put any type of pressure on the Redskins to change their name. You're living in a fantasy world. All politics is local, Slim. I advise you to understand what I'm saying. All politics is local. And if you notice the two senators who did not sign it, they were in Virginia. They did not sign it at all. They didn't even want comment on it. You know
mm-hmm.
what I mean? One of them got AIDS, you know, saying, "Yeah, we wanted to sign it, but we just couldn't do it." Yeah, okay. Yeah, sign it and see what happened to you, Slim. See what happened to you. But it seems to be a lot of clamoring outside of the Beltway for this to happen. But inside of the Beltway, the diehards are just like, we're not hearing it. We're not hearing it at all. Because it's ridiculous is what it is. It really is. So we're sorry that you all find it offensive, but it's here to stay. It's here to stay. It's mm-hmm. $1.8 billion franchise. We're not going anywhere, Slim. We're not, and we're not changing the name. Sorry. Peace and blessings.
All right, Macau. Thank you for stopping in on this Memorial Weekend. Enjoy the rest of these 2 days that you have left for Memorial Day today and tomorrow. I know it's probably nice weather down there also. For those
yeah,
people,
it's real nice.
Don't enjoy it. Don't do anything stupid. You still have to do whatever you do on Tuesday. So remember, you know, you want to be able to go back to that job, or go back to your loved ones if you're out of state or whatever. So don't act too crazy. Like I said earlier in this show, it's the first good weather holiday to start the so-called summer off. Don't get too buck wild because there's other good days and a holiday that's in the middle of the summer to enjoy. With that
that's
being
right.
said. Everyone take care, enjoy, and we're out.
Yeah, yeah, it is. She caught me by surprise, I must say, because I never had seen such a pretty face with such a warm and beautiful smile. It wasn't hard for me to notice her style. I was fascinated.